Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church.
Because I needed it as an illustration this morning, I asked the guys on the worship team if they were thankful that you were here today. And they said that they were. And so I'm going to put this phrase on the screen. They are so glad that you're here today. They really are. And some of you right now, the people that there's a little bit of smoke coming out of their ears, they are the grammar police. Their badges are hidden, but you can tell by their reaction to what is on the screen right now. How many of you guys right now, you're like, that's a problem. I can't stand it when people spell their wrong or your wrong. And there's another one misspelled. Wow, some of you are really good. The grammar police are in force this morning. I am not going to pretend to be an English scholar. I'm from Tennessee, all right? So that's not on our high point, all right? But football is. We won one yesterday. Nothing, all right. I'm not going to pretend to be an English scholar. I've never been accused of being a master of the King's English. But seriously, come on, man. You know, I mean, you guys have been reading something somebody put online, and you read that, and you went, oh, man, come on. And you just couldn't hold it back. You had to tell them that they were wrong. Anybody ever correct someone's English before or their spelling there? Sure. My understanding of the English language could be best described as elementary or basic. I understand like the very, very core things of English, and I may understand a little bit more of it than I give into here. But I do understand the two basic parts of the English language, and we're going to geek out for a minute. Are you guys okay with that? Are there any other English geeks out there? I can't stand you people, all right? I was more of a math guy. I hated English, loved math. Anybody that was like that? Anybody that loved English and hated math? Because usually they do not coincide. But we're going to geek out for a second here. A noun. What would be a definition for a noun? A noun would be something that identifies a person, place, thing, or idea. Is that correct, English people? All right, good. A verb is the other major part of our English language, and a verb is something that signals an action, an occurrence, or a state of being. Some of you are already falling asleep as we are getting into this English language, all right? Today, I have three nouns before you. We have a teddy bear. This would not be a verb. This would be a noun. That would be a bear. Here's another form of a bear. It smells funny, but another form of a bear here. Any Chicago Bears fans out there? All right, I figured there'd be a few of those. And then we have another bear that's inside of a cage here. All of these three things that are on the table would be considered nouns. None of them are verbs, but each of them remind us of a verb. Now you got to follow me a little bit here. This is a noun, this bear, but this bear, there's a noun, reminds us of a verb. That is a noun, but each of them remind us of a verb, or another way of putting it would be to say that they remind us to do something. The things that they remind us to do are things that we cannot live without. We're going to start a new series of sermons today that we're calling the Bear Necessities. All right. Again, you English Nazis out there are saying you misspelled bear, and you would be correct, but we did this on purpose because the whole gist of this series is that when you look at the way that God designed bears in different forms, it reminds us to do something that the scriptures show us that is a verb or a use of the word bear in scripture. We're going to see that this noun can be a picture of a verb, and the things that we are going to be reminded of are necessities for every believer, things that we cannot live without. So this morning we're going to start out with this first one here. And whenever I bring this teddy bear out, you guys know why they're called teddy bears, right? Teddy Roosevelt and that whole story. That's what I've been told anyway. But this teddy bear and my family, a lot of my family sitting in this second row right here, they know exactly what this bear's name is. Its name is... My wife is tearing up as I hold it here. baby bear is this bear's name. This is my daughter Emily's bear. This bear is at least 15 years old because Emma is 15 years old. And she had this baby, I believe, before she was even born. And this bear has meant a lot to Emma. She one time took it to someone's house and forgot it, left it there. And we didn't know that she had taken it. And it was probably a year later or so that we were at that person's house, and they came out and they said, "Does anybody know whose old bear this is?" And Emma was probably only about 7 years old, and her eyes just lit up, and she said, "Baby bear!" And she went and she grabbed it and she hugged it. And right now, some of you are having childhood memories because you had a baby bear. Did anybody have a teddy bear that was just cherished by them? All the men are like, "No," but you know you did, all right? What is significant about a teddy bear to a child? The thing that's significant, that I believe is significant about a teddy bear to a child, is that when a child is hurting, when a child is scared, when a child is going through something that they don't understand, what will they oftentimes run to? They'll run to baby bear. They'll run to the teddy bear, and they'll hold that bear, and what does that bear do for them? That bear brings them a level of comfort. So let me ask you this question. How many of you today, this morning, you have received comfort from a teddy bear? I'm looking. Has anyone received comfort from a teddy bear today? All right, maybe not. I want you to think about why you may not have received comfort from a teddy bear. You know why you haven't received comfort from a teddy bear today? It's real simple. Because you haven't picked one up. I just feel really comfortable right now. There's just something about having this guy. He puts his arm around me, you know, and I am just comfortable in the presence of this teddy bear. But seriously, when Baby Bear was gone, Baby Bear wasn't able to give Emma any comfort. But whenever she got Baby Bear, she knew that, man, I'm going to be all right. She took this thing to how many appointments? When Emma was about 2 years old, we noticed she was off. We thought it was because of her mother's family, but it wasn't. She had epilepsy, and we were trying to figure that out, and so she had to have blood drawn and go to doctors and everything, and she would not let a doctor touch her unless she had Baby Bear with her. And she didn't leave Baby Bear in the car. What did she do the whole time? She held Baby Bear's hand. She held Baby Bear close, because there's something about a bear that brings comfort, but it only brings comfort by picking it up. There's something about picking up a teddy bear that brings comfort. You say, what in the world does all this have to do with the Bible? I want you to see for yourself in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. This is what the Word of God says. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We see the same version, or the same spelling of the word bear that you would use for this noun, but the word bear here, English professors, is it a noun or a verb? It's a verb. So what I want to challenge you to see this morning is that when you see a teddy bear, may it remind us of something that God has told us as believers to do, and that is to bear something. This word bear, do you know what it literally means in the original language? It literally means to lift up and carry with you. Much like a teddy bear, right? Because a teddy bear does no good when it's sitting over by itself, but when you come over and you lift it up and you carry it with you, it does something for you. And the Word of God says here that there's something that we're supposed to lift up, there's something that we're supposed to carry with us. What is it? One another's burdens. He's speaking very specifically about some burdens. I want you to see those in verse number 1. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," you know what that means? If a brother is overtaken in a fault, they've done something stupid. How many of you guys know a brother, a Christian, a brother or sister that's done something stupid? All right. How many of you guys looked that person in the mirror this morning? Right. The Bible says, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, he says, "Ye which are spiritual." And we need more spiritual people in the church. Spiritual people aren't people that wear a tie on Sunday mornings. Spiritual people aren't people that don't cuss. Spiritual people, restore them in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When someone has done something stupid, when someone has sinned, when someone has gone the wrong way, the Bible tells us that someone has to be the spiritual one and not choose to judge them, but to choose to help them. Amen. Aren't you thankful that God has given us as Christians this command that a lot of Christians forget about? Because a lot of Christians are really good that when someone falls, we're good at kicking them while they're down. Have you ever noticed that before? You ever had that happen before? God says, that's not my design. That's not the way this is supposed to work. The way it's supposed to work is that when a brother is overtaken in a fault, we are supposed to come alongside of them with the goal of restoring them. The very next verse tells us to bear their burden. Because here's the dirty little secret. You have faults too. Look what it says in verses 3 through 5 here. It says, for if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burdens. All of us this morning have fallen. We've made mistakes. We've been overtaken in a fault. And we also, all of us, have some burdens as well, don't we? If I were to go around the room, and this is the best I could do for more teddy bears. These are my son's, what are these things called? Webkins. Very good. You get a Webkin. All of us, if we were to go around the room, we could just start throwing these things out, you know, and we know some burdens that some people have carried. Let's see here. If we're going around the room here, we're just passing out these burdens. Because some of these burdens that some of us bear are burdens that have been there for a long time. Some of us have some burdens that we bear, if you will, that have, or what is that? Badger, if you will. Stop badgering me. And so but some of these are temporary, but some of them they last a long time. I mean, and let's be honest, some of the burdens that we bear are self-induced. The reason that we're bearing them is because of some of the foolish decisions we've made. And you know, I think I have 8 of those bears, so you better return them back to me, all right? Because they're not mine, they're my son's, and he will come after you. He's a Florida fan, and you know how those people are. We all have these burdens. Some of them are heavy, some of them are daily, some of them are temporary. I don't know about you, but when I have a burden, when I have a bear, you know what I want to do with it? I want to get rid of it. And don't look at me like, oh, well, you're not spiritual. Well, you're right. I'm not as spiritual as maybe you are. But when I have a burden, I want to get rid of it. I mean, you guys have heard us talk about this at length, and I apologize if I talk about it too much, but God's allowed me to go through it, and I think it's because I probably need to share it. But over the last several years, we've dealt a lot with Emma, with her medication and her condition and her having brain surgery and everything else. And so when I pray for that burden that she is bearing, but we also bear, I don't pray, Lord, I just pray that you let me carry this the rest of my life. You know, Lord, I just pray that you'd help her to not get rid of that thing. What do you pray for when someone is going to, when they're going in for surgery? You pray that they be healed, right? Because you don't want to carry that burden. I think of my wife. She has chronic illness, and you can't see it all the time, but there are some days she wakes up and she just doesn't feel like doing anything. She's in constant pain. When I pray for her, I don't pray, Lord, I just pray that you keep her humble. You know, keep her that way, you know. But, you know, it's not how you pray. You want it gone. My dad had a tumor removed from his brain just about 2 months ago, and right now he has very limited vision. He can only see right what's in front of him. He has no peripheral vision, and everything that he sees is very blurry and fuzzy. When I pray for him, I don't pray, you know, Lord, just keep him that way. You know, I pray that the Lord would take that thing away. But whenever we look at this, the way that God ordained these words to be used as nouns and verbs, let me just ask you about a teddy bear. When you look at that teddy bear, do you want to just get rid of it? No. When you're hurting, when you're suffering, what do you want to do with that teddy bear? You want to pick it up. When you see that bear, you don't want to just leave it there and just say, oh, I just hope it stays there the rest of the time. No, you want to lift that thing up and carry it. You know, that's what we do with teddy bears. And can I tell you, that's what God wants us to do with the burdens that we bear as well. Did you see it in these verses? Verses 2 and 5 both say it. It says, bear ye one another's burdens. And then it says, bear your own burden. What was the word? What did the word bear mean? It means to lift up and carry. He said, whenever you think about the burdens that you are carrying and the burdens that others are carrying, he said, it's our responsibility not to just act like they're not there, It's not to try to live in ignorance. What we are to do is to not just try to just think that it's not there, or to try to get it to go away, but rather to lift that thing up and to carry it, or in other words, treat it like Emma did Baby Bear. But let's be honest, that's not our view of burdens, is it? That's not the way that we view burdens, because what we tend to do is not only with our burdens, but with other people's burdens. What do we tend to do when we see other people that are hurting? We tend to avoid them, don't we? I mean, there's something inside of us that when you know someone is going through something so difficult and you know that they're hurting, oftentimes one of our tendencies is to try to avoid that person because we just don't know what to say to them. You ever felt like that before? Like someone just got diagnosed with cancer, or someone just lost a loved one, or someone is going through a divorce. Or a lot of times, I'm guilty of like, you see them in Walmart, steer the other way, because what are you going to say to them? Anybody ever felt like that before? We tend to avoid them because we feel so inadequate to be able to fix their problem. Because it's easier for us to be around people that aren't hurting than it is to be around those that are. Rather than treating people with burdens like they are lepers, may God help us to treat them like they're teddy bears. Because you know what they need? They need lifted up. They need carried. They need someone to come alongside of them, like you would have treated your favorite teddy bear as a child. Picking it up is what we are to do. Now listen, whenever you pick up a bear, it doesn't fix the problem, does it? You know, when Emma was holding Baby Bear and she was having her blood drawn, whenever she grabbed Baby Bear, did that make the sting of the needle go away? No. The sting was still there, but it just helped her through it. You follow me? The Bible says that that's what we're supposed to do when other people are going through these burdens. We're supposed to help them bear it. I'll never forget one of the first times that someone close to me passed away. It was my grandma Buto. She passed away when I was a senior in Bible college. And Missy and I had been married just a few months, I believe. And we drove from Knoxville, Tennessee over to Adamsville, Tennessee. And this was in a day where we didn't have cell phones, or if we did have cell phones, it was very new kind of thing, you know. And we were hanging out in my grandma's kitchen. And I still remember what it looked like with the island there in the middle. And all of a sudden, the phone rang. The phone on the wall rang, all right? Faith, they used to have this box, like, on the wall, and it had, like, this cord. Some of the cords were this long, but if your parents were cool, they got you one that you could go all the way to your room. And then if anybody came across, they'd get clotheslined, right? How many of you guys remember those curly things, right? That's what she had, and the phone rang, and I watched someone go over to it, and they answered it, and they said, sure, I'll get it. And they said, Josh, the phone's for you. Now, listen, I hadn't told anyone about my grandma's phone number, you know. But I'll never forget going over the phone thinking, who in the world has my grandma's phone number? And I put the phone to my ear, and I'll never forget the redneck voice that came through that earpiece. It said, Brother Josh, this is Brother Ken. And I knew exactly who it was. And I didn't really have a tight relationship with Brother Ken. We helped in a junior church for about 3 years while I was in Bible college in a church called Salem Baptist Church in 10 Mile, Tennessee. They called it that because it was 10 miles from anything. And out in the middle of the boondocks, and Brother Ken was one of the faithful men in that church. And I didn't have a tight relationship with him. But Brother Ken somehow got my grandma's phone number, and he called me, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, Brother Josh, I really don't know what to say. I just want you to know that we're thinking about you right now, and we're praying for you. I was a 21-year-old kid, but you know what? That melted my heart. To be honest with you, it melts my heart a little bit today. That this guy that I barely know, I just, you know, briefly would cross paths with him on Sundays because I was downstairs in the junior church, he was upstairs in the big church, you know, and that kind of thing. And it just meant so much. What he did that day was he heard that I had a burden, and he said, I'm going to do what I can to lift up and carry that burden with him. And for him, what that meant was just simply making a phone call. Did that take away the sting of grandma passing away? Not at all. But you know what it did do? The same thing a teddy bear does. It brought me comfort. And I want you to know that that is what God has called us to do. Look at what it says again in verse number 2. He says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, when the Bible talks here about the law of Christ, I don't know of anywhere in the New Testament that explicitly explains what the law of Christ is right here, but most people believe that it's referring to the time when they asked Jesus, what's the most important law? And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and might, and love thy neighbor as thyself, right? The Bible says that when we bear one another's burdens, he says we are fulfilling the law of Christ. When you get to verse number 5 where he uses this phrase again of bearing burdens, he says, for every man shall bear his own burden. When we think about our burdens, the Bible says here that every man shall bear his own burden. Because here's the thing about it. You can't take my burden away from me. I can't do anything to heal Emma or to heal my wife or to heal my dad. I'm going to bear it. It's going to be there. And just as much as my burdens are going to be there and I am going to bear them, I believe the Word of God in Galatians 6 is calling it to be the same way in the body of Christ. Whenever we look around this room today, we are the body of Christ. If you've believed Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've believed the gospel that he died for you, he was buried and was risen again, if you believe that, then you're saved and you're a part of the body of Christ today. And the Bible says that just as much as you are going to bear your burdens, when we bear one another's burdens, we're fulfilling the law of Christ. We're doing unto others as we would want them to do unto us. So can I ask you this morning, whose burden have you picked up lately? I mean, this is kind of where it gets personal. Who have you sought to say, hey, let me help you? Let me comfort you. How many teddy bears are you carrying today? I'm not talking about your burdens. The Bible says, verse 2, to bear one another's burdens. Unfortunately, the modern church has bought into this consumer mentality where we come to get what we can rather than to give what we can. You know, the first reason that we don't bear one another's burdens is because we're not bearing our own burdens. We're not bearing our own burdens. We're too busy trying to get rid of these things, and rather than embracing them, we try to get rid of them. Rather than trying to find purpose in them and trying to see the Lord at work in them and seeing God comforting through them, we try to get rid of them. But may we remember that the Word of God says that His strength is made perfect in what? Our weakness. I remember one time Gracie had to go in for something. I don't know what it was. Gracie is this one with the white beanie on right here. And she is our 14-year-old. And Gracie went in for something. I don't know if she had ever blood drawn or what it was, but she was scared. And she didn't want to go and everything. And this is when they're little. And in my mind, I don't picture them at 14 and 15. I picture them at 6 and 7. And I remember little Emma going over to Gracie and seeing Gracie hurting and seeing Gracie scared. And Emma took this bear and said, here, Gracie. And she gave Gracie baby bear and said, this will make it better. Do you know why Emma was able to do that? Because Emma had been through it. And Emma found that while she was getting her blood drawn, this made her feel better. And Emma found that while she was scared and not sure about how things were going to work out, as long as she had baby bear with her, things were going to be okay. It may not change it, but it definitely changed the way she was able to endure it. And because she had learned that for herself, she was able to pass that same information to her sister. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4, it says this. It says, who comforteth? God comforteth us in all our tribulation. Well, why does God comfort you, so that you may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Many believers are reluctant to embrace their battles in life and thereby have not learned what it's like to be comforted in them. Therefore, we have little to nothing to offer other believers in regards to comfort. One of the first reasons that we don't comfort others and bear their burdens is because we're not bearing our own burdens. But number 2, we're too busy trying to hide our burdens. We're too busy trying to hide our burdens. We need to be reminded of the fact that you and I were not designed by God to do life alone. You realize that? The Christian life is one that is designed to be lived in community. To try to carry my burden alone is futile and it is delaying the inevitable. We were designed by God for others to help us through what we're going through. But what we do on Sundays is we get up and we get our nice clothes ironed and we get our nice stuff together and we're not only covering up, some of us put on some stuff to cover what's going on up here, up, you know, and that kind of thing. Some of us wear beanies so we don't have to comb our hair, right, and that kind of stuff. But what we do is we try to get everything looking just right, but the truth is that a lot of us don't just do that on Sundays. We do it all the days. We don't want everybody to know what we're going through. We don't want everybody to know how we're hurting or how we're doubting or how we need help. But when we try to do it alone, guess what? You don't have anybody praying for you. If someone doesn't know what you're going through, then how are they going to pray for you? If no one knows what you're going through, then who is it that's encouraging you? There's something about someone coming along and saying, man, I'm for you. Hey, man, I don't know what to say, but I'm with you. I'll be there for you. And some of you are not getting that. Because you're too busy trying to hide your burdens. You're trying to bear them on your own. And God says, let's be vulnerable. Let's let other believers know, not so they can feel sorry for us. Nobody likes being around that guy. Oh, you know, my dad used to do this right here. Anybody ever had a dad that ever did this right here? You know what that is? It's the smallest violin in the world playing My Heart Bleeds Purple Kool-Aid for you. I don't know where that came from. But sometimes you get around people that's, they're like Eeyore, you know, they just walk around like there's a storm over them all the time, you know. I'm not talking about being that guy. I'm just talking about being real. The Bible says to let love be without dissimulation. That word is the same word that they used in their Roman theater to put on a mask, to disguise themselves as someone else. A lot of us are putting on masks, and God says, put the mask down and let other people know what you're going through. Listen, the Bible says there's safety in the multitude of counselors. If no one knows what you're going through, who is counseling you? Who is advising you? Who is encouraging you with the word of God? We read there that the reason God comforts us is so that we can comfort others in their trial. So if no one knows about your trial, then where's the comfort coming from? There's no one saying, hey, I've been there, I've done that. And I don't care what you're going through this morning. There is someone in the body of Christ that has gone through it before. God has comforted them, and God's desire is for you to be comforted by that person. But many of us will never know because we're trying to do it alone. Listen, don't believe the lie that you can do it by yourself. Look at what it says in verse number 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. The nature of self-confidence is self-deception. The nature I can get this done all by myself. It's just like a little kid going, I can do it all by myself. Yeah, a lot of us as adults think the same thing, don't we? Listen, you can't. You were not designed to. You need the people that you are surrounded by this morning. I'm going to say that again because that was really important. The people that you're sitting next to this morning, you need them. Like God has placed you in this local body of Christ so that you can be have your needs met and fulfill the needs of others. You need the people that you are surrounded by this morning. But let's be real honest. Some of us have been around for a long time, and we really haven't connected with anyone. There's no one in this church that knows what we're going through. There's no one in this church that you've confided in. There's no one in this church that's praying for you and with you about something. If that's true, that's a problem. Because in God's ultimate wisdom, He designated for this time and place in history for us to do life with God, with others. And for me to believe that I don't need others is to tell God that your plan, it's good for others, but listen, we're deceiving ourselves. In the last couple of years, We've had people that go through different trials and different hard times, and we want to help them. One of the things we like to do as a church is like to bring people meals after they go in for a surgery, or, you know, we want to make sure they're getting visited in the hospital and those sorts of things. But I'll be real honest with you. There's been some people that have gone through some of those things, and they haven't been able to be ministered to very well. And here's why. Because no one in the church knows who they are. Hey, would you mind taking a meal over to this person? Well, who's that? Now, listen, I'm not telling you need to know everybody in the church, but there needs to be some people we're connected to. You know, the way we do it around here is if you go into the hospital or if you come out of a surgery or something like that, then what we typically do is we contact the life group leader, and the life group leader usually already knows what that person's going through, and then their life group works together to minister to that person. And it's a beautiful way of working things out. It's a beautiful way of doing the church, but here's the thing. A lot of us, we don't have that because we are too busy trying to do life alone. The last thing, reason we don't bear one another's burdens is because we're just simply not looking for them. Rather than coming to give, we come to get. And when was the last time that you intentionally looked around and said, I'm going to try to be a blessing to someone? I don't know if I've ever done this before, and I don't know why the Lord moved me to do it, but they had an activity for the 4th through 6th graders on Friday night at Pastor Andrew's house called The Spot. And they do that a couple times a year, and kids love it. And I was taking Andrew over there, and the Lord prompted me just to tell Andrew, I said, son, while you're there, I want you to look for someone to be a blessing to. He said, okay. I said, who do you think you can be a blessing to? And he told me a couple people. I said, well, how do you think you can be a blessing to him? He told me a couple things. And then when I went and picked him up, Pastor Andrew said, hey, I want you to know, before this thing was over, Andrew came upstairs from playing pool down there, and he came upstairs, and he said, Pastor Andrew, is there anything I can do to help clean up? And then Pastor Andrew had a heart attack right there on the spot, because... But you know what Andrew's mindset was going into that? It was, I'm going to find someone that I can bless. Listen, our mindset ought to be, you know what? I'm looking around. She's got an otter over here. I'm gonna help her today. I'm gonna be a blessing to her. And I'm looking around. You look like you could be. You know, how are you doing today? You know, really? I mean, that's great. Anything I can pray with you about? Let's see. Yeah, how are you, man? You living with that guy? I know it's tough, but you're gonna make it. You know, and you see what I'm saying? I'm looking around and I'm going, oh, over here I can. And listen, when's the last time we did this? I mean, really? This is what the church is all about. We realize this, right? The church isn't about, all right, got my hour and 15 minutes in, check, hour and 20 last week because preacher was long-winded. I got that in. No, we're here to bear one another's burdens. Look at people's countenances. Look into their eyes. Look for people that are sitting alone or with their heads down, people that are tentative. Look for those who leave quickly and or just look discouraged. Look to be a blessing to someone. You know, the truth is, I could go around this room this morning, and I don't have to look for a pink lamb to know some of the burdens that some of the people in this room are going through. I mean, there's some people in the room right now that are genuinely hurting, and they genuinely need some comfort. Can I just ask you, do you know who any of them are? We should. You say, well, I don't. Well, you can start trying. Just start connecting. How many of you guys ever had somebody say, how you doing? Anybody ever have anybody ask, how you doing? You hear that all the time. But where you press is you say, no, how you really doing? Is there something that's burdening you I can pray with you about? I'll put a picture on the screen here, and a lot of you guys know who this is. That's Jackson Harper. And a lot of you know Jackson because when he was 3 years old, he was diagnosed with brain cancer, and his grandparents, Ed and Brenda, come to church here, and we've been praying for Jackson for the last couple of years, and he's been down at St. Jude in Memphis off and on over the last 2 years, and they've done everything they could possibly do, and just last week, a week and a half ago, they sent Jackson home and said, there's nothing else we could do, and they actually told him, you might want to think about having Christmas early this year. 5 years old. The last 2 years have been rough on Jackson. He's maintained an awesome spirit. If you've ever had a chance to see him, he's one of the most encouraging. I mean, he can't see. The cancer's taken away his sight. Can't see anything. He just has a sweet spirit about him. His parents, his grandparents, the family, they're hurting. You know what we need to do? Lift them up. Bear their burdens. What I want to do today, I want to do the invitation just a little bit different than we normally do. I want to put feet to the message this morning. Ed and Brenda are back in the back of the auditorium, and I'm going to have them come up here in just a minute. I'm going to have them come up here in the front, and I'll have them sit in this front row. And what I want to invite us to do is when we stand, I'm going to have Mark come up, and he's going to play I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. And if you're comfortable coming up to the front and praying with Ed and Brenda, then I just want us as a church just to gather around them and to pray for them. If you're comfortable. If you're not comfortable, that's fine. But if you're comfortable, you can come up, you can pray out loud, you can pray silently, however you want to do it. But if you're not comfortable with that, you can remain in your seat and you can just sing the song with Mark as he sings. And think about the words to it. But some of us may know someone else in the room that we could have come sit up front. I'm not going to start bringing people up front, but if there's someone else that you know that's going through something this morning, maybe you don't need to come pray with Ed and Brenda. Maybe you need to go to that person, just put your arm around them and say, I want to pray for you right now because I know what you're going through. Because listen, this is what church is all about. Teddy bears are cool and everything. Andrew, how old is he? 11. Our 11-year-old has these Webkins. He probably has 100 of these things, and they're all up in a corner on a net in his room. And you know what? They do nothing for him. The one that does something for him is the one that he grabs, he brings down, and holds along with him. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people in our room this morning that there are bears that are out there, and they need to be lifted up and carried this morning. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes.
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.